No surprise, there's been some headline chasing once again, all occurring from what happened in the announcements last night. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Castle joins us today with StoneX. So let's talk a little bit about those headlines, because it really pulled initially the corn and very much the wheat lower throughout today's trading session.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the overnight news of a two-week ceasefire between the U.S. and Iran and the potential for the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, at least during this period, pretty much dominating trade throughout the broader markets. Stock markets loving this news, obviously up very strong here. As we speak, crude oil off pretty significantly as well, though it is worth pointing out they've both kind of bounced from the extremes of their moves. Crude is up a little bit from the lows. Stocks are a little bit off the highs. I think probably a reflection of the ongoing back and forth of violations of the ceasefire in both directions. We've seen Iranian drones and missiles make their way into a lot of their neighbors, even after the ceasefire here, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Kuwait, all seeing stuff coming their direction. And at the same time, there's been some strikes within Iran. And then obviously you've got Israel carrying out a pretty heavy bombardment in Lebanon today, which, the Iranian side, even Pakistan, who's mediating, are not thrilled with. So, again, there is a lot of, I would say, unknown here for these next 2 weeks. There's a lot, I would say, of maybe caution, skepticism to be taken. But for today, with it being by far the best news that we've gotten in terms of working towards peace in this conflict, to this point, the market is more than happy to take an optimistic viewpoint and try and, believe that this is going to last. And you're seeing price action reflecting that. So, again, certainly kind of worth keeping an eye on longer term here. There's, obviously still going to be back and forth in the next 2 weeks. But, once more, it's dominating trade here today. And traders, again, happy to see a positive headline for what feels like the first time in quite a while.
So what is your thoughts on how we've seen the money flow this week in the trade, considering all that, even on a midweek, is weighing in on the markets?
Yeah, so I think, seeing crude tank like this and then seeing the wheat complex lead the way down here, I think part of that is probably an indication of money flow out of the commodities back into the stocks, into the risk assets, as, managed money feels a little more comfortable parking stuff there, not looking for the safe havens quite like they were. But I think there's also the weather aspect in the wheat market. You guys in Nebraska would know better than anyone about the dryness we've seen building over the winter here, especially in the western part of the state. But forecasts have kind of shifted a little bit wetter, potentially bringing in some good rains in Nebraska in the longer term forecasts to kind of help out the winter wheat crop there. And I don't think it's a coincidence that you see KC wheat be down the least. The whole wheat complex is selling off double digits. KC has kind of seen the least sell off to this point. I think that's more reflective of the actual fundamentals. The one issue spot we do have in the winter wheat crop nationally would be your hard wheats on the plains. Again, pretty much centered on Nebraska, Colorado, kind of far western Kansas, and into the panhandles of Oklahoma and Texas. But again, those forecasts kind of filling in. Obviously, a forecast isn't actual rain, so we'll need to see those actually pull through and verify. But elsewhere, from a wheat perspective, our national ratings are kind of held up by how good things look in the eastern Midwest and soft red country and the PNW and soft white country. So even though national winter wheat ratings look very ugly at only 35% good to excellent, I think it's really important to realize it's not a uniform story. It's really just in the hard wheat market. And, Chicago leading the way down, I think also that's where you're going to typically see the most managed money, there's speculative money pressure come in. So as we get this story where, okay, maybe it's risk off, maybe we're comfortable going back into equities, that's where you see some of that spec money pull out first.
When you look at what's happening with, fertilizer costs, and as the Strait of Hormuz continues to stay closed, that's going to add even more pressure.
Oh, yeah. So obviously great news on the front end to finally get some of this stuff moving. There have been a few fertilizer vessels that made their way through the straits during the conflict, but it's been very limited, especially compared to other products. And one of our analysts on our team here today actually put together a really nice breakdown of what is currently trapped in the Strait. In that lineup, there are 22 urea vessels, 11 sulfur vessels, 6 phosphate vessels, and 4 ammonia vessels. So it gives you kind of an idea of this big front-end supply crunch that the global market is feeling. Hopefully getting those ships out will allow for some front-end alleviation from this tightness. But I think it's also very important to not lose sight of the long-term impacts that we have already made in this conflict, whether you're talking about the LNG supply with the damage to Qatar, for example, potentially taking 3 to 5 years to get back to normal, for the folks downstream who rely on that gas to produce their own fertilizer domestically, it's going to take a long time to recover. So you are just kind of naturally tighter. And then the other big question, obviously, that we won't have good answers to until we kind of get through the fog of war here, is how much damage has been done in Iran itself. Just from looking at what we know has been hit, a couple plants, have said they've been hit. One of those is for sure confirmed. And then Israel earlier this week struck some gas processing capacity in the South Pars field. They kind of effectively cut electricity, water, oxygen supply, some more of the input side of things to these plants, to the petrochemical complex there in general. And it sounds like it's taken that plant offline for the last few days as well. That is the biggest in the country. So between just the 3 plants that we know have had some kind of confirmed damage, whether it's to the plant itself or to upstream input supply, that's about 60% of Iran's urea capacity. So again, fog of war, you're not going to have great specifics on this. But, we are seeing a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction trade lower today. Pretty light volume. We did see a couple of NOLA urea barges trade down about $40 to $50 cheaper than yesterday. And it's worth pointing out that's from a very high level. NOLA urea traded up at $7.25 yesterday. So not necessarily, this huge break. But again, light volume because I think it's really not, necessarily a market where fundamentally the Strait reopening changes today. I think this is a problem that lingers longer term. And the other aspect, that's focusing more on the nitrogen side of things. I think there's going to be a lot more downstream impacts we haven't felt yet in the phosphate market. And we just saw India today really pay up to $8.65 a met ton for some DAP. That is a sign of the global market staying very hot. They're obviously a huge buyer. They're one of them. Most impacted folks in terms of losing this ability to import LNG for their own production. So they'll probably stay in the import market here, which then just makes us look too cheap to the world. And I know that sounds hard to believe given how expensive phosphate is, but globally speaking, we do look very cheap, and that runs the risk of drawing exports away from the U.S., which just tightens our supply further. So I think there's probably still some more downstream issues we haven't felt from this. But again, we're just happy to see finally a break. And again, the first bit of positive news here in quite a while.
And finally, as we wrap up our conversation, Mike, we've got a WASDE report that comes out tomorrow. Do you expect any surprises from the April numbers?
This is typically one of the more boring WASDEs, for lack of a better term, because it's kind of sandwiched between two really exciting reports. You get your March 31st prospective plantings and quarterly stocks, and then your May WASDE, where you get your first look at new crop balance sheets. The April report is usually pretty boring for the U.S. Expectations are for very minimal changes. And just looking back at the last 15 years in corn and beans, for example, corn moves an average of a nickel from this report, beans an average of 12 cents. Pretty quiet, right? Especially for a report day. The real things to watch will be on the global side of the balance sheet. Specifically, I think probably one of the more interesting things to see will be whether or not USDA ends up increasing their corn productions in South America or on the wheat side of things as well elsewhere.
All right. Mike Castle joining us today with StoneX. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. That is the Wednesday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.